Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has come to conquer all of our enemies, to take us to live in peace and safety with him forever, dear fellow redeemed. Now, Wednesday midweek Advent services, we've been listening to Advent ambassadors, both in the Old as well as the New Testament. Well, our sermon text today was not part of that series, and yet we are hearing from another one of God's Old Testament ambassadors, and his text is an Advent text. Zephaniah was the great-grandson of faithful King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah will be listening or hearing about in our Wednesday night Advent sermon. Zephaniah's time of ministry was during his cousin's rule, King Josiah, also a very faithful king. The message that Zephaniah had for the people of Judah was much like all the other prophets, a twofold message. A message of judgment and condemnation for those who are faithless and turned away from Jehovah, a judgment of deliverance for those who remain faithful to the Lord their God. Throughout Zephaniah's prophecy, he uses the term the day of the Lord. That term signifies several things. It first signified the judgment that was going to come upon the nations round about Judah, Ammon, Philistia, Moab, Ethiopia, Assyria, and eventually Judah itself. But also signified the deliverance the Lord would give to those who remain faithful and true to his word. But ultimately the term the day of the Lord signified the coming of the Messiah, which would usher in the last days. And so the term the day of the Lord also symbolizes and signifies the ultimate judgment of all the nations of the world and the everlasting deliverance of all the faithful. All who are called Zion are also Israel. So, in Zephaniah's prophecy, we have these thoughts of judgment and deliverance interwoven like one piece of cloth, yet with many, many different colors. Much of Zephaniah's revelation is in the dark, somber, terrifying colors or hues of the condemning law, God's judgment, his wrath and condemnation upon the ungodly. And this judgment was even going to come upon the lukewarm or the indifferent of those who are in Judah. Because God told them, just because you are called my children doesn't mean you're my children. If you're just outwardly by name only, it's only through repentance and faith that they would not stand face to face with God's wrath. Zephaniah's book is short. I'm going to read you a few examples of God's words of wrath and judgment upon the people. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. But interwoven with these terrifying colors of judgment are the beautiful, brilliant colors of God's gospel, of deliverance and forgiveness and salvation. And here we read a few examples from Zephaniah as well. In that day, you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from you, from your midst, those who rejoice in your pride. And you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid anymore. And that brings us then to our text. In the first verse of our text, we read in verse 14, Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Two things catch our ears in that verse. The heaping up of commands to celebrate with singing, and the terms daughter of Zion and daughter of Jerusalem. And that's why we have entitled our theme, It's Time to Sing Christmas Carols. And our first point is, rejoice in his great power to save. Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice, Zephaniah says in our text. Who's to do that? All of us. We are the daughter of Zion. We're the daughter of Jerusalem, the remnant, believers in Christ Jesus. And I'm sure Zephaniah was not talking about singing Christmas carols. They weren't even written yet. The Messiah hadn't come yet. And yet what better songs to sing in praise and honor to our God than songs of Christmas that talk about God's defeat of all our enemies and of God's great mercy and grace in the coming Messiah. So, let us rise and open your bulletins to the insert and sing the first four Christmas carols that are listed under point one, Rejoice in His Great Power to Save. The organist will play one line to introduce each of the carols.
With heart and soul and voice, now ye hear a of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels sing. News of great joy, news of great mirth, news of our merciful King's birth.
The second verse of our sermon text, verse 15, reads, "The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more." It's time to sing Christmas carols because the Lord has conquered every enemy. The Lord, in his law, declared, "For the wages of sin is death. The soul who sins shall die." That's the verdict. That's the judgment of God. But Zephaniah says in our text, "The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy." If the judgment of punishment is gone, and if the great enemy death has been removed, then what is there? There's simply sleep for the body. Be awakened again in the resurrection. Sin and guilt is gone. Death has been conquered. That's exactly what another prophet says. Isaiah, writing about the suffering servant, wrote these words, "But he, the servant, the Messiah, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The punishment we deserved because of our sins was laid upon Jesus Christ, and he paid for them in full. That's why the Lord to Jeremiah says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Sin, death, and the devil has been defeated. So Zephaniah says, has been cast out. By whom? Zephaniah says, "The King of Israel, the Lord." All of our spiritual enemies have been defeated not by a mere mortal king like David or Solomon, but by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, our Savior. Under his rule, under his kingship, we have no reason to fear, because there shall be disasters no more. Now that's a reason to sing. Let's rise. We'll sing the next three Christmas carols under point two, "For the Lord has conquered every enemy."
Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. But he leaves his throne on high, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The Christian man rejoice with heart and soul. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save, calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting call. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Finally, we read the last two verses of our sermon text, verses 16 and 17. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the Lord the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's time to sing Christmas carols. Because the Lord rejoices over us in love. Zephaniah says, do not fear. Let not your hands be weak. Literally, hang limp at your side. Fear can paralyze people, immobilize them. Fear also makes one very, very tired. The Lord says, those days are over. Fear is removed. The Lord is victorious. Our hands and our hearts have been set free from fear. Fear to do what? To serve the one who has set us free. To serve the one who is in our midst. To serve the one who is in our presence with his word and his all-encompassing, surrounding angels and protection. Zephaniah says he's mighty to save. He's the strong man, the mighty warrior, our hero. What a picture of power. But Zephaniah draws another picture here. He says, this mighty warrior, our Savior God, rejoices over us with gladness. We're the ones that should be filled with gladness and joy. And yet we see that our God rejoices. He rejoices because his plan of salvation and redemption of mankind to save everyone has been accomplished. And he joys because the purpose for creation, that everyone would be with him, his creation would be with him, is transpiring and coming to pass for all those who believe in him. And now we have a complete turn in pictures. This mighty hero, this conquering, powerful king, acts like a mother, and is quiet to show his love. Quiets us with his love. How many of us felt our mother's arms around us when we fell or scraped our knees or felt bad? The Lord is like that. And as all of us are thinking in our hearts about what happened this last Friday, we can imagine the necessity for the Lord to surround and enwrap those many parents and people and relatives and family members of those little children who were lost, and all those who suffered so much of loss on Friday. The powerful Almighty God bends down to them and to us, wipes our tears, and with his powerful arms surrounds us with amazing love to help us with our afflictions, our trials, our troubles, and our sufferings. Wow. And then finally, Zephaniah says, he rejoiced over you with singing. A couple months ago, we had the same line from Deuteronomy. He's going to rejoice over us with singing. What does God's voice sound like in song? What a joy it'll be on Judgment Day to hear God singing in joy as we come into his presence forevermore. Let's conclude with our Christmas singing with the four verses of God Loves Me Dearly on the back of your bulletin insert. Let us rise. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.